I have a question that I'd like for us to think about this morning to start with. In the course of a day, what does it take to get your mind to be turned toward God? Does it take a near calamity? Most all of us, if we felt like right now we're going to be in a wreck, our mind instantly goes to God. God help us. We need help. Our mind can instantly be turned to God. Does it have to take a calamity? What causes your mind, each of us this morning, what causes your mind to be turned toward God? Have another question. Are you nature sensitive? Can your mind be turned toward God by the things that He has given us around us? Nature. In places that you've traveled before, have you had a place that you went to that it was just so special, not so much something that man was able to build that you looked at, but something that God created, and it turned your mind toward God? And a lot of times when that happens, this song comes to our mind. Oh Lord my God, when I am awesome wonder. Now you folks may kind of take for granted where you live out here, but we come out and it turns my mind toward God. When I see these things, the mountains, driving over to Sister Shirley's place the other day, and the meadows, the things that God created, and I really believe He did it, that my mind would be turned toward Him. That song, "When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed." That next verse says, "When through the woods and the forest glades I wonder, can I go through God's creation and it never cause my mind to be turned toward Him?" A lot of people do. But for me, "When through the woods and forest glades I wonder, I hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains grander and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, does it do anything for me?" This person said, "Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art." To be able to see nature itself turns my mind toward God, and I believe He wants it that way. When I was a child, my parents took us on a little trip. We went up somewhere in Louisiana, and it was perfect time for tulips to be in bloom. And now you would think a 10, 12-year-old boy, he isn't worried about flowers blooming. But that was such a beautiful sight. It has always stayed with me. They had it in plots to where this color tulip, it was just full of that one and in perfect bloom. And it caused my mind then and since then to always remember that. That was just something special that God gave to us. Can you look at a flower and not think of God? I used to have a kaleidoscope, and you look in there and the splash of color. You know, God created some flowers that if you'll stop and take a look at them, they will turn your mind back toward God. Then I wonder, if He has done all this for us to be able to enjoy, thank you. I wonder what the Garden of Eden must have been. You know, so often, we focus on the negative. I hardly ever think about the Garden of Eden except that I remember that Eve sinned and Adam sinned and they were cast out, and that's about as far as you go. I'd like for us to stop just a little bit and take a look at what God provided. If we look in the second chapter of Genesis, and in the seventh verse, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And then it's almost like in the eighth verse, God said, "Now I want to do something really special for him." And it says, "Out of the ground made," well, the eighth verse, "And the Lord God planted," He planted, "a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, First of all, he did some that had no benefit at all for you to exist, for you to be able to live. He did it just that it would be pleasant to the sight. We have at home in our yard several, what they call them, Bradford pear trees, and yet they're not, they give no fruit. But in the springtime, the blossoms are so white and stands out that it's pleasant to the sight. Those things, I believe God was intended. I gave that to you so that when you see it, I hope your mind would be turned toward me. I hope you would think about me. He gave trees that were pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So in that, he put a tree that if you would eat of it, you would live forever. I wonder, what was God's plan back then for two people? He did all that. I wonder if that was like heaven. You will be able to eat of this fruit and never die. But they sinned and they were cast out. And you remember where it was saying, lest they come back and eat of this tree of life and live forever, we're going to have to bar them from being able to come into it. And it made me wonder, look what God provided. Look what his intention was for two people. I did all this for you. Well, what I'm wanting to go to today is, if he did all that for two people, what's heaven going to be like? If we could look at nature today, and I really believe God would love for us all to slow down in our life, it's almost like a merry-go-round spinning faster and faster, to where I focus only on, I got to get up and get to work on time. I got to get this day finished, and I eat my meals and I go to sleep, and tomorrow's another round on this merry-go-round. God would like for us to stop it, slow down, and look at the things that he's provided and let it cause something to happen to us. Because you know, the world around us can look at the same things of nature that we see, and it does nothing for them. They can walk away from it and not even think about God. But today, what I'd like for us to do in the future, when we see the beautiful things of nature, I would like for us to think about, if God provided that for me here, what's heaven going to be like? There is a verse in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, and I believe it has other meaning also, but it's caused me to think about it as I think about heaven. In 2 and 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I believe that's covering the plan of salvation. But I want to tell you, I think it also means you have no idea what I have out ahead for those that love me. I have prepared something for you. If nature around us is so great, what's heaven going to be like? And then we go, because you know, we focus sometimes on the negative. I know the other night whenever I was talking about the end, we talk about the crashing of ages. We talk about people wanting rocks and mountains to fall on them. We talk about hell. But I want to tell you, there's something else that God has that is not negative at all for those that is prepared for them that love him. For us that go through life, we are reminded constantly through the day about God. To where when I come to the day of judgment, it doesn't bring terror, because the Christian has met God on a daily basis and allowed him to judge them throughout their life. And now this is just my opportunity to move over and see what he has prepared for me. It doesn't have to be a day of terror to those that love him. There's another verse over in 2 Corinthians 4 and 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul was able to look at all the things, and we can all take a look at the list of things that he had happen to him. And he takes this next verse and he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." I'm thinking for us, if we will get a glimpse of heaven, like Paul did. You remember where he was talking about in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians? He wouldn't even say it was him, but he said, "I knew a man that got caught up into paradise, saw some things that's not even lawful to talk about." But you know what? I wonder if that glimpse of heaven was one thing that helped to have him fixed. When all those things happened to him, he said, "None of these things move me. I've got a view on something out ahead." And you take a look at this verse. With all the things that happened to him, the times that he was stoned, the times he was shipwrecked, the times when those men, his own fellow men, laid wait to kill him. And he went through all those things, and here's what he called it. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." These things that are happening to me, I've got a vision of heaven out ahead. And these things that are coming into my life, they're preparing me to be able to make it on that day, to be received. "While we look not at the things which are seen," my focus is not on this life. My focus is not on the things that are happening to me in this life. They're not on those things that are seen, but on the things which are not seen. I'm realizing that these things that are happening to me today are designed to prepare me for that prize that awaits me out ahead. "The things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they're eternal." You remember in Hebrews when it said there was a group of people that they confess that they were pilgrims and strangers. I'm just moving through this life. This is not my home. And if I'm not careful, it is so easy for all of us to set up some roots here. It told about them, it said, if they had wanted to, they could have gone back to that country. They could have stayed. But instead, it said they desired another country, a heavenly country. And for which cause God was not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. Folks, I tell you, if we could back off from being locked into this life so much, and I could start letting the things, even of nature, when I wake up in the morning and I walk outside and I see the beauties that God has provided, that it would just have none effect on me, but instead that it would cause me to say, God has prepared something for me if today I'll be faithful to him. One day at a time that I'll be faithful to him. There has been a city prepared for me, and he's not ashamed to be called their God. I'd like to look at another verse in John in the 14th chapter. And in the first verse, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." How much time do I spend in a month's time thinking about this? What God has prepared for me. What he has that's awaiting me. There is a song, we all go through troubles and trials. I thought of this song, number 213. It's going to be real important. I've got to have something to compare my trial against. This one says, "Pilgrim of Jesus, o'er life's troubled sea, courage and onward pursue. A crown of rejoicing is waiting for thee. Ever keep heaven in view." On a daily basis, not just I came to camp meeting and somebody talked about heaven and I thought about it for a few minutes, but that every day I would keep it in view. "Pilgrim of Jesus, what saddens thy brow? Are not his promises true? How needless thy sorrow. He's bidden thee now. Compare it to heaven. Ever keep heaven in view. Pilgrim of Jesus, oh lift up thy head. Ask and thy strength he'll renew. And while in the footprints of Jesus you tread, ever keep heaven in view." having something to compare these trials, these tests against. I really believe that's what helped Paul through the things that he went through. He had something to measure it against. I've got a prize that's waiting right out there just ahead. Pilgrim of Jesus, that Eden above, long has been waiting for you. And soon thou shalt reach thy fair mansion of love. Ever keep heaven in view. So here he says, I'm going out to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'm going to come again to receive you to myself. There was another song, number 497. If you stop sometime and just look through this songbook of people that somehow they got a view of heaven. This one says, there is a city, so I've been told, with gates of pearl and streets of gold. It's a walled-in city on eternal heights where it's always day, it's never a night. It says, I've been invited, so I must go. We have all received an invitation, and the devil between here and the last breath we take is going to do everything he can to sidetrack us. But I need to keep in mind I've received an invitation, and by God's help, I'm going to go. And meet my Lord who loved me so. There I'll see his face and his glory share, and I'll ever rejoice with the angels there. It says, let's go to the city. Maybe, you know, we had just recently, and many of you probably saw it on the news, a man that said on Saturday, on a certain day, maybe a couple weeks ago, the end is coming. Well, not really the end for everything. It was going to be the rapture, because they were going to be leaving some things behind for others to take care of. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know that none of us will stay here. The day is coming that every one of us are going to be gone. And whether it's the end of all things or just my end, and I've been made to realize even this week while we've been here and hearing about the funeral for the young man, you know, 21 years old, is too young to leave here, we think. But there's people of all ages called out. And I want to spend my life focused on living my life, measuring it against this prize that awaits me if I'll be faithful. And what it will start doing to me is start helping me to say no to some things that could take a chance of causing me to miss it. You know, a lot of times we will focus on the negative. We will say, stop doing wrong so you won't go to hell. But I think sometimes maybe we need to focus on the positive. Do right, because heaven waits you. There's something out there that waits for you. And sometimes we look at, when it comes my time to go, almost as if it's punishment to leave here. And I want to tell you, God never intended it to be that way. I was looking the other day at a verse in 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter, where he came down explaining, here's what you can expect when the end comes. It says in the 15th verse, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, if I'm not careful, this can be dismal words. I have spent 70 years building a little empire for myself here. I've almost got it exactly like I want it. Retirement has come, and I don't want to go. I want to stay. Could it be that to the point when God says, I've got something here for you, something special, and I say, here's where my heart is. The Bible warns us, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This one was never intended to be, when we hear these words, that it would cause us to have regret to have to leave. Look at how this finished. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Is it possible that we could live in a place that when we start talking about leaving here and going to be with the Lord, that it would be comfort? Is it possible that it was intended to be that way? Is it possible that I can have a longing for the day when I get to go be with Him? Or is it that I have built up so much here that I have no desire to leave. There's a place for us in Colossians. It says, if ye then, 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, if it's happened, start seeking those things which are above. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Sounds like some heavenly things that I need to start focusing my attention on. Set your affection. That's something that is a job for me to do. I get the privilege to decide where I'm going to set my affection. I can do it on the temporal things around us, and my heart is here, and I don't want to leave it. Or, and there's a balance there. I don't believe God ever intended us to not enjoy living here. I think He intended us to enjoy the benefits that He gave us while here. But all the time, seeing those benefits makes me think of, what must that other be if this life is so great? And at the point that He would call for me, that I would be willing to go. There's another song, number 370. Says, there's a voice full of sweetness and love. It is speaking so kindly to me. I will lead you to bright realms above, where the Spirit forever is free. Is it possible that we could live in a place like this person? I am waiting, I am longing for the summons to come. Not with discontent for what He has given me here. Not going around with my head hung down and I don't enjoy anything here. But living in the place to where, when He calls me, I'm ready. It says, I forget all the things that are past. I am looking to glories divine. I shall reap my reward at the last, for my Jesus, dear Savior, is mine. Where it tells us, if you then be risen with Christ, start seeking those things that are above. It's going to be a help to me, because on the day then that God calls for me, it's merging from one life to another. There's another song that says, I want a mansion, a harp, and a crown. And there was a place where Paul talked about, I have fought a good fight, I finished my course, I kept the faith. Henceforth there is a crown laid up for me, and not for me only, but for all those that love His appearing. It's for everybody. I want to ask you, usually in this life, someone that has a crown, it's intended to bring honor to them. What would Paul do with the crown over there? I was looking at that fourth chapter of Revelations where it talks about a scene of heaven. It told what they did with a crown. Said they all cast it before the throne. Lord, You're the one that's worthy for all praise, for all honor. There was, you remember when the angels came, Jesus is coming to the earth, said multitudes of the heavenly hosts were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. That's what we're going to find in heaven, is a praise for what Christ suffered for me to allow me to be able to be there. And this thought has been going through my mind lately. Dan, if you expect to enjoy being there, you need to start praising me now. You need to start practicing now of more and more, not taking for granted this gift that has been given of Christ dying, that I would be able to make heaven my home, that I would be able to have my sins blotted out and make heaven in the end. There are times of a deathbed repentance to where someone can live against God all their life and He has such mercy that 5 minutes before death He accepts them. I think that is so great that God has that kind of mercy for them. But I tell you, for myself and for each of us here, I believe it'd be so much better if we lived our life in harmony with God, and death and what lays out ahead of us is just merging together. Song number 470, Brother Ulysses Phillips, he must have got a glimpse of this. He He said, "Their light and life without an end into eternity shall blend. My life that I have lived is not some big contrast to what God wanted all the time, and it just flows right in together to be with Him throughout eternity." There was another song, number 191. Beyond this world of toil and care. Folks, there are some times that we're going to need to get our eyes above this world. Because we're going to have some things hit us and stay with us for a long time that want to drag us down. But we need to remember, beyond this world of toil and care, beyond this veil of gloom, there is a land, a happy land. It's a place we call our home. Oh yes, with us having that vision, here's what we do. Oh yes, we'll trust Him while we live. We'll trust Him when we die. And then when all our work is done, we'll reign with Him on high. For me to be able to live my life, and this is not just for old folks. When you get about 70, you need to start changing what your desires are, because you're fitting to have to leave them anyhow. We need to start, young people, need to start focusing on, here is what's important in my life. You start setting your affections at a young age on things above, and your desires will be there throughout your life, to where when you die, you don't have to worry about the judgment day. Because throughout our life, in services like this, when the Lord deals with our heart and passes judgment on my attitudes and things that I need to change, and I make those adjustments, then when that time comes, I don't have to have the fear. It's only, I met with God yesterday. He judged me yesterday. And I met with Him. I made those adjustments. Today, it is to hear, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant." I really want to be able to hear that. And I want to ask you, we're living in a time now where the concept of heaven has been blurred so much. Most anything is going to be able to make it. Recently, there was a pastor of a large church, had several thousand people in it, and he said, and he's writing books on it, "I now can prove there is no hell." Now, you know, to a person that wants to believe that, that's welcoming news. He said hell is the troubles that you go through in this life that everybody has. He said no one will miss heaven. Everyone will be there. There's something I need to have in my mind as I go through life. There are people that say the devil was one time in heaven and he was cast out. You know, if we believe that, we've lost the concept of who God is. The all-knowing, all-seeing God. He wasn't busy on another project one day and failed to see that someone was slipping. There's a song that we need to always keep in mind. Heaven is a holy place, filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. It'll stop you at the door. It'll bar you out forevermore. Sin can never enter there. Another verse of that song says, if we hope to dwell at last, when our life on earth is past, in that home so bright and fair, we must here be free from sin, have the life of Christ within, because sin can never enter there. Because if I'm not careful, I'll start adjusting what's going to allow me to still be able to make heaven my home. There's a verse that stirs me that says, if we build again the things that I once destroyed, the things that at one time I knew would keep me out of heaven, and now because somebody else can come along and tell me, it's not that strict, you'll be able to make it. Because there's people saying most everything makes it nowadays. I need to be careful, because I'll miss it if I don't realize that it's a holy place. Hebrews 12 and 14 tells me, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. No matter how many more years time goes on, and people can explain it away, it's going to require me living a holy life to be able to make heaven my home. Sin will never enter there. There's another verse that I'd like to look at. 1 Peter. One and 15. This is going to be a requirement for us to be able to make it. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Let's not be casual about what will make it into heaven. I'm going to have holiness in my life. I'm going to have to be free from sin. I'm going to have to be pure before the Lord. There was a song that I heard just recently. It said, I'd never miss seeing Jesus. I'd never miss seeing loved ones who have gone on before. It says, I would never trade forever for a few days down here. I'd never miss heaven for the world. That has stirred me. Because we're told in the Bible, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I need to be real careful. Because there will come things that will crowd into my life, and I can see it all around me. And I can make justifications and say, I believe I can take this on, and heaven will still be my home. I need to be real careful. Because though the Lord has it out there for every one of us, I need to not be too casual about what it's going to cost to be able to attain it. I want to be careful of my life. I've also wondered, what desire holds me here? I was reading the other day about Paul. He said, I am torn betwixt two. To go would be better for me, but there are folks here that still need me. That's what he was saying. So I'll be willing to stay. Can you imagine living in the place to where my desire would be, I have seen this out ahead. I see the prize that awaits me, and my desire would be, I just love to be there. But you know what? We don't want to. The Lord has a balance for us. He put us here, and he said, I want you to enjoy what I've given you. I want you to be able to have your mind turned back toward me. He doesn't want us to go through this life, I only think about heaven. I only want to go there, so I'm not happy until I get there. No. The thought of me being able to make that ought to really make me happy while I live here. And that I would be able to express it to other people. So Paul had that vision. I'd like to be there. But I tell you what, there are still some things that the Lord has for me to do here. So I'll be happy with this too. There was a testimony that I had heard of a farmer that in a vision, in a dream that he had, he started leaving earth and heading for heaven. Said that he went up a little ways and stopped in midair. And he wondered, you know, what's the matter? I was headed there. I was on my way. Said he looked down and there was a rope tied from his foot to his farm that was keeping him from going any higher. And I wonder, there's temporal things that we all have to use but not abuse. The Lord can cause us to prosper, but we don't want to set our heart on it. We must realize this is all just temporary. There was another song that said, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus, only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord, that this is not all there is. There's something out ahead. There is a prize. There is punishment if I'm not able to keep my focus right. But today, I would like to focus on the prize that awaits me. There's one last verse that I'd like for us to look at. In 2 Peter 1. Starts telling us some things if we really expect to be able to make it. There's some things that we need to start adding into our life today. It says in the 5th verse, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Faith is the first thing that we need to have. Thought of that verse in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's going to be impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And one of the rewards of those that diligently seek him is heaven out ahead. And it goes on down and it says, If these things will be in you and abound, they'll make you, that you neither be barren nor unfruitful. And then it starts in the 10th verse. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly. Here's heaven and our opportunity to enter. An entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An entrance, an abundant entrance. That we don't have to come to the end of our life and say, you know what, I really don't know. I do hope that the door will open for me, but I'm not sure. Instead, we can live a life that at the end of it, there would be an abundant entrance. I'd like for us to close with another song, number 373. What will it be to be there? It says, there's a city of gold in that land far away, with its streets and its buildings so rare, with its glories untold and its bright golden ray. Oh, what will it be to be there? I want to make it. Throughout my life, I don't want to allow anything, because I tell you, there's a lot of things between here and there that can stop me. One of the things that keeps coming to my mind is, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. It may come to you different than it will with me, but I want to tell you, if we live long enough, we're going to be hurt by something. And the devil would love to cause a little root to start there, and it grow to the place that it ruins my chance of making heaven my home.